Hi, Ginger. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you for having me on K2. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Ginger Hudson, and I am the manager and horticulturalist at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. For those who don't know or haven't been to the Arboretum, this is Juno's Botanical Gym. The Arboretum was donated in 2007. The City of Juneau Parks and Rec Department took ownership and manages the Arboretum. However, the reason this could happen was because the last resident, Caroline Jensen, had the forethought to preserve the property. So she created the first conservation easement in South Central Alaska. So the Arboretum will be here in perpetuity. It's a really special place with its aspect to the sun and the coast and a little bit of protection from some north wind. It was homesteaded in the late 1800s. There's a vegetable garden still in the same place that those homesteaders started. So it's been in the same area for over 100 years. Some of our highlights are also a 100-plus-year-old apple tree. But of course, the Arboretum is nestled, surrounded by the Tongass National Forest, which we absolutely love. And it's right on the coastline of the Inside Passage. So we benefit from this land having been underwater at one time. So that puts sea marine life into the ground. And now we have the runoff from the forest, which is acidic. So we have a perfect blend of good nutrients in our soil. And our big claim to fame at this point in time was the creation of the nationally accredited Primrose Collection. Caroline loved primroses. And so the first manager, Merrill, took it upon himself to get accreditation for her collection. He added to that collection, and today we have over 170 varieties of primula on the property. And for Primula Day and Public Gardens Day on May 25th, I encourage folks to come out. Actually, if you can make it out earlier, the primroses are in prime, spectacular color right now, but they do bloom from April until frost. There is always some kind of primula growing.
Wow, that's amazing. I just actually was learning a little bit about some of the folklore, old English folklore around primroses and just today. So that's really cool. I'll have to come out and take a look at those. So May is Alaska Native Plant Month here in Alaska. It's kind of a new thing. I think this is the second year that it's been going on. Could you share some Southeast native plants or trees that'd be easy for gardeners to integrate into their own yards or gardens?
Yes, we're really happy that garden groups across the state came together to ask the governor to declare this Native Plant Month. In the lower 48, Native Plant Month is in April. And as everybody knows, our gardens are still waking up. Well, the landscape is still waking up. So we're really excited to celebrate this in May. Some native Southeast native plants that are easy for folks to grow, besides what volunteers in your yard. I'm sure everybody might have some experience with thimbleberries, salmon berries, spruce, hemlock, but there's some other smaller, unrecognized plants that are the basis of many horticulture plants. So we've got a couple of varieties of heuchera here in the state, and a lot of people will see lime and purple and gold and bronze heuchera in nursery centers. Well, heuchera is native across North America, and all those fancy ones started out as a wildflower. So that's pretty exciting. Another diminutive wildflower that grows well here, especially for those that have shady gardens, is tiarella. Sometimes it's called foam flower. And one of our really special underutilized trees is the Western crabapple. And right now, there's actually some research going on to collect these wild relatives of our commercially grown fruits. So, as our climate changes, there's the potential for these large agricultural areas to lose plants because the apples and the cherries and the crab apples they've grown for generations aren't adapting quickly enough. And so, folks are starting to collect wild varieties of a lot of our fruit crops. And the Western crabapple is one of those. And should, for some bizarre event occur that we lose apples or crabapples, at least we have that rootstock that lives here in this climate that could potentially provide food for folks. But of course, our berry plants are easy to grow. We have plotted a nice little collection of silverweed in our veggie garden, not only because it is a traditional native food plant, but it's just pretty. It is a member of the rose family, so the leaves are very similar. They're shiny green on top, and then they have a nice silver on the bottom. That's what gives them their name. And what else have we expanded? Camas flowers, nice, beautiful, tall, white, and purple spikes that come up late summer. They're more native adjacent, but they do really well here. And what's some more? Anybody who lives on the coast, I encourage you to be looking for beach peas, beach asparagus, beach lovage, things like that. Lovage is related to cow parsnip, which also is edible when it's young. The lovage is edible as well in the parsley family, so very flavorful and useful for seasoning.
So tell me about the Native Plant Walk happening this weekend. How can people get involved?
We are holding a native plant walk Sunday, May 19th at 11 o'clock. And in celebration of Alaska Arbor Day, which is on Monday the 20th, we'll be focusing on trees. Folks are welcome to join. There's no fee. There's technically no registration, but if I know you're coming, I do want to make sure I have enough handouts. We're going to meet in the parking lot. There's a small parking lot for the Arboretum adjacent to Glacier Highway. It only fits 20 cars, so if you don't carpool, and it gets to be really popular, and it's a beautiful sunny day, be prepared to park at the Peterson Creek Trailhead or at along the highway. So we'll highlight the trees, of course, but we'll see other native plants along the way. And the Arboretum has a special area designated where we have cultivated native plants, and they're all labeled. So folks that anytime they visit, they can see what these native plants are. And we could talk about some of the uses. And another thing that I do want to highlight are the pollination of some of these plants. As we know, a lot of our bumblebees pollinate some of these plants, but I'm hoping that we'll see flowers from our low bush blueberry and maybe our lingonberry because mosquitoes pollinate those. And I know we have our contentions with mosquitoes, but we have to think about all the insects and all the good that they bring to our landscape and our life around us.